Paramount, a Gulf Plus Western company. Close-ups of the bottoms of people's legs and their feet as they tap along to the rhythm of the music. Paramount Pictures presents a Daniel Melnick production, a Herbert Ross film,
not gotta cut loose.
Footloose,
kicked off Sunday shoes.
Kevin Bacon,
pull me off of my knees.
Laurie Singer,
come on before we crack.
Diane Wiest,
everybody cut footloose.
And John Lithgow. Francis Lee McCain, Christopher Penn, Elizabeth Gorsey, Sarah Jessica Parker, Jim Youngs, Douglas Dirksen, Lynn Marta, Arthur Rosenberg, Timothy Scott. Someone in slick brown brogues kicks their feet out, while a woman in red pumps and black tights bends at the knees. Someone in silver sneakers springs from foot to foot, while another dancer in green tights and pink stilettos sways from side to side on her high heels. Someone in red socks with white hearts moonwalks, while another in trainers and thick leg warmers moves their feet diagonally from side to side. Feet in white shoes with red laces move at a speed matched by a pair of pale suede ankle boots.
Now take the whole of the soul.
Written by Dean Pitchford. Directed by Herbert Ross.
I'm totally loose, loose.
A rural landscape overlooked by snow-capped mountains.
And he is testing us. Every day, our Lord is testing us. If he wasn't testing us, how would you account for the sorry state of our society? For the crimes that plague the big cities of this country? When he could sweep this pestilence from the face of the earth with one mighty gesture of his hand. If our Lord wasn't testing us, how would you account for the proliferation these days of this obscene rock and roll music with its gospel of easy sexuality and relaxed morality? If our Lord wasn't testing us, why, he could take all these pornographic books and albums and turn them into one big fiery cinder like that. But how would that make us stronger?
A boy catches the eye of a girl on a pew.
One of these days.
She whispers to her friends, and one of them with long curled hair takes a look at the boy, then briefly raises her eyebrows and looks disinterested.
And what am I going to tell him on that day?
As the sermon continues, the girl paints her fingernails bright red.
That I was bored? No! I can never let up! I welcome his test. I welcome this challenge from my Lord so that one day I can deliver all of you unto his hands. And when that day dawns, I don't want to have to do any explaining. I don't want to be missing from your lives. Praise the Lord in singing. Hymn number 397. What a friend we have in Jesus.
The teenage boy puffs out his cheeks in boredom, and a man has to wake up his sleeping son. The boy wakes up momentarily, then nods off again.
I will. You have a good week
now.
Bye-bye, Ellen.
Mrs. McCormick, your sister has us so excited about you coming.
Oh, thank you.
Did you meet my wife, Vi?
No. How do you do?
How nice to meet you.
Welcome.
This is my son, Ren.
Hello, Ren.
Would you excuse me?
Daddy?
Oh, Ariel, will you come and meet the McCormicks?
You have a stunning new gentleman.
This is Mrs. McCormick and her son, is it Wren?
Wren.
Wren's going to be new at the high school tomorrow.
Hi. Daddy, me, Edna, Winnie, Joe, and Rusty are going down for a soda at the high school, okay?
You're done.
Well,
Ariel, remember, you have school tomorrow.
I'll be home for supper.
God, is he excellent!
What? The new kid?
He's all right.
What, are you blind? He is gorgeous!
So, have you seen the new high school?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God, I almost forgot. Cindy Addis had her baby.
Who told you?
Yesterday, my mother spoke to her mother.
Oh, my.
Did she come back for graduation?
I don't feel a bit sorry for her. You can't buy a diaphragm for the male. I'm serious.
Well, did she decide who the father was?
There's no question. It was Dwayne Capps.
Wait a minute. I've been going with Dwayne Capps. He never had the time.
Well, how long does it take, Winnie Jo?
Ladies and gentlemen, moving up behind us, you'll notice the incredible barfmobile. Wow!
A pickup drives alongside them.
Going my way.
You lonely, Denard? Oh, you want a race? You got a race.
What, that piece of junk?
Step on it.
The pickup, which has antlers mounted on the roof, pulls ahead of the girl's car. Ariel throws her bag to the boy and clings on to his wing mirror. Ariel is stretched out between the two speeding vehicles. Ariel climbs out of the car and stands with one foot on the window frame of the pickup and the other on the frame of Edna's car. There's a truck approaching them on the straight stretch of road.
Get in the truck, Ariel!
Ariel's still standing between the two cars with her arms held up in the air.
Come on! Get in!
Seconds from impact, Ariel jumps into the pickup and they just miss being hit by the truck. Edna's car ends up at a steep angle on a bank at the roadside.
You should never have let her done that.
Leaving her friends in shock, Ariel wraps her arms around Chuck's neck and kisses his cheek.
So, have you met any of your teachers?
No, I haven't had a chance.
Oh, Reverend, they've only been here 8 hours.
Oh, now, I took care of all that last week, registered.
But I made you some of those Toll House squares, I promise. Lulu, you taste one of these, you'll burn your recipe.
Reverend, we have a little problem. I heard that the English teacher over at the school is planning to teach that book.
Slaughterhouse Bob, isn't that an awful name?
Oh, yeah, it's a great book.
The adults glower at Wren.
Slaughterhouse Five? Yeah, it's a classic.
Do you read much?
Maybe in another town it's a classic.
In any town.
Tom Sawyer is a classic.
Wren looks away in frustration.
No, that's fine, Ethel.
Ethel, honey, here, have some more ham.
No.
You sure Wren doesn't want something?
I don't think so. We're both a little tired from the move.
I think I'm going to take Wren a potato.
Amy, come back and sit down. I'm sure your cousin's fine. I'm sure it's a shock to the system moving out here from the big city.
But what if he's starving?
Amy, you are so lame.
Sarah, Amy, eat.
Oh, I can't sit still. I'm so excited you're both here.
Ethel, you sure you're not too tired?
No, Wren did most of the driving.
If you ask me, Wren is a total fox.
Amy!
Where did you hear that? Ethel, you see how television and those kinds of books influence children? You see?
Night has fallen by the time Ariel, Chuck, and later her friends drive up to a brightly lit diner called The High Spot.
What the hell's the problem? Chuck Benson, are you crazy? You're sick! Hey, Ariel, here's your sweater.
Ariel, are you out of your mind? I could kill you!
You almost did, Edna.
Yeah, that's what you get for sniffing spray starch.
After he graduated, they drained his brain. Hey, Edna, you getting fries?
If I am, you can't have any. Winnie Joe! Winnie Joe!
Yes, bring me Edna's fries.
Sure.
Hey, where are you going? What are you doing?
Smuggled tapes.
Hey, you be careful with that. Your daddy hears you playing, it'll bust your butt.
Ariel places the cassette into Chuck's ghetto blaster, which she's put on his bonnet. Chuck smiles at her from the driver's seat as she starts to move to the music and swings on his door. Other kids sitting or standing near their parked cars start to move to the rhythm. In the ladies' bathroom.
All over.
A girl talking on the phone bounces to the music while someone else taps their feet against the wall. Even the chef is getting into the beat as he flips burgers. A boy at an arcade game can't stop his feet from moving. A waitress shakes her head as she sets out sauces, and a couple swing under and over a rail while a boy eats some of his girlfriend's hot dog before showing off some of his moves on a narrow red-painted curb. The party spirit is abruptly deflated when someone ejects the tape from the stereo. It's Ariel's father. Everyone falls silent as the Reverend Shaw Moore stares at his daughter. He briefly glances around at the faces of the disappointed teenagers, then takes a few paces towards Ariel. He takes something out of his pocket.
Your mother didn't think you had any money with you.
As she accepts the cash, he glances into the truck before walking away. Ariel watches him go with a pained expression. Ren's getting ready for school in front of the bathroom mirror.
Ren?
Yeah, Mom.
You got ready to go?
Uh-huh.
You gonna wear that tie?
Yes.
I think you might want to dress down for now.
Well, I like the tie.
September, when you go off to college, you can dress like David Bowie.
Come on, let's go.
Ren drives into the school parking lot with music blaring from his battered pale yellow VW Beetle, drawing lots of attention from the students hanging around. He pulls into a spot, still being scrutinised by the other teens, then gets out wearing a black leather jacket over his grey shirt and loosely done-up black tie. He becomes aware of the students pointing and staring at him. Looking a little uncomfortable, he heads towards the school building. Now he's making his way along a crowded hallway. A boy comments as he passes.
How'd you comb your hair?
Oh, shit, mister, where are you going? Son of a bitch, you're supposed to look.
Sorry.
Hey, where'd you learn how to drive anyway? You're supposed to stay on the right side.
Hey, I like that hat, man. You sell men's clothes? Where you got that?
The boy in a cowboy hat grins.
What's your name?
Ren.
Yeah? My name's Wheeler. Hewitt. Nice to meet you.
How you doing?
All right. I'll see you around.
All right.
Wheeler, I swear, these days.
Rusty to Ren.
Hey, that tie is fabulous. I mean, it's fabulous. Don't let anyone tell you any different.
Ariel. Right?
Very good.
Woo! Girl, you are on.
Chicago, wow, man. Must be wild, like the Naked City.
Can I fish?
I'll tell you, man, you're gonna bounce off the goddamn walls here. So what do you do there?
I don't know. Same thing you do here. What do you do here?
A lot of this.
Yeah, that too. Oh, I'll tell you, man. There was this place called the Blue Heaven.
Yeah?
That's great. You had to steal IDs to get in this place. It was incredible, you know? It was like a huge underground circus, you know? Hot pink neon climbing up the walls and astral music and girls. Millions of girls. Like from the university, mostly. We could get one of them to dance. Just one. And that was it. We'd get out on the floor and we'd really start to smoke, you know? We'd start cutting into each other and these girls would just stop whatever they were doing. They'd look.
They look how?
You know, they start to warm up a little, right? Pretty soon, start buying us beers.
They're buying you guys beers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, there was this one. This was the best. Ginger. Now, listen, we started dancing, right? Slow dancing, like we were stuck to each other. Now, eventually, it's obvious to me that she wants to do more than dance, right? So we left the place. On the way to the car, she's already got her tongue in my ear. We get to the car. She says we can't go back to her place because of her roommate, right? But she says, hey, that's no problem. She's got these seats in the car that recline back. All the way back, if you know what I'm saying.
All the way?
Right? She rips my shirt open. She's clawing my chest. She's biting my neck, and I'm trying to get over the stick shift because we're going like a freaking freight train now. All of a sudden, she starts screaming at the top of her lungs. Oh God! Oh God! Don't stop! Don't stop! Make Ginger pop!
Oh shit! Really?
No.
Willard looks disappointed.
Yeah, but we did dance. We danced our asses off.
Lord, how could you let our new student eat this food?
We don't need this.
Now, we have some delicious homemade food over there.
Come on over.
So good. Yeah, come on.
Come on, Willard.
Hi. Oh, chicken. Mmm. Come on. Come on. Get one. Get one. Bring your friend.
You won't get any of that here.
What's that?
Dancing. There's no dancing, right?
That's right.
What?
It's illegal.
Jump back.
That's true.
Has been for about 5 or 6 years.
Why?
Go ahead, tell him.
Started when a bunch of kids got killed in the car wreck. Whole town went bananas, blaming it on the music and liquor and dancing. Now they're just convinced it's all a sin.
Who's convinced?
Whole damn town.
Ren looks confused. Later, he's putting gas into his car.
So you really can't dance here, man. I can't believe that.
It's true. This isn't the only place either. You'd be surprised. Places upstate you can't dance. Places in Kansas and Arkansas. All over the place. My cousin lives in Montana. He can't dance where she lives either.
Yeah? She ever get busted for bopping?
I don't know. Never asked her. You rich?
No, why?
I don't think I ever bought a tape before.
Get serious. This place is too weird. Don't you ever listen to the radio?
Nah, we got one radio at home, but it's never on.
You like men at work?
Which men?
Men at work.
Where do they work?
No, they don't. They're a music group.
What do they call themselves?
Oh, no. Well, what about the police?
What about them?
Have you heard them?
No, but I've seen them.
What, a concert?
No, behind you.
What? Oh, shit.
Ren pulls up, and two officers climb out of the squad car behind him.
Step out of the car.
Yeah, could you tell me what the problem is?
Will you just step out of the car, please? Hey, Jim, these plates are Illinois State.
So? You got a license?
Jim Kent.
Hey, I just bought that.
Hey, you're playing it kind of loud, weren't you?
Yeah, is there a law against loud music?
Hey, let's watch that attitude, boy. This way, I don't have to take you in.
$25, they wouldn't even left me off with a warning.
Well, you can't talk to our police the way you talk to those big city police.
Yeah, but I wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, sure. There, hush. Ren, there was this bunch of kids snuck over the state line a year or so ago to see some rock and roll group, and they were stopped on their way back into town by the police.
They were in church and school probation for weeks. So you better watch your step around here, young man.
At his home, Moore carefully uses liquid eraser to correct a mistake on the sheet of paper he's typing on before getting back to work. Ariel's studying a dense book under the light of a desk lamp.
Daddy?
Hmm?
I'm sorry about the other night at the drive-in. I mean about the music.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
Ariel looks back down at her book, then tucks her hair behind her ear before turning to her father again.
Daddy? I don't know what came over me.
You know, I can't always be with you, Ariel. I can't always look out for you.
She gets up from her desk and heads over to his side.
What's the music?
Oh, it's, I think it's Haydn chamber pieces.
And that kind of music's okay?
Well, it's uplifting. It doesn't confuse people's minds and bodies.
I don't...
What?
I see.
She moves off.
Listen, could you tell your mother to go on to bed? I still have a lot of work to do down here.
Yeah, I will. Daddy?
What is it?
He doesn't make eye contact with her.
Good night.
Good night, honey.
Now Ariel skips out of school. Ariel clambers into Chuck's pickup, which Ren almost reverses into.
Hey, you the new kid? I'm talking to you. Where'd your tie go? I thought only pansies wore neckties.
You got jumbo coconut balls, and you're really pretty stupid.
At a mill...
Can you operate a pallet jack? Well, how about a bag closer? Where are you from?
Chicago.
You're not stupid, are you?
Hey, you trying to piss me off?
Well, boy, a lot of folks are going to give you problems right off because, you see, you're an outsider. You're dangerous. They're always going to worry about you. Screw them. And this is only one little corner of the world.
Start Thursday.
Sounds okay.
Ren grins and punches the air. Now he's hard at work, shifting weighty bags of flour.
Hard work. Get used to it.
He's just set a bag down and is flattening it out when a red-booted foot balances on it. He looks up and finds himself face to face with Ariel.
Oh, hi, Ariel.
Chuck Cranston wants to see you. Meet him over at the back of his daddy's field tomorrow, 5:30.
So what happens tomorrow, 5:30?
You're gonna have to show up to find out.
And if I don't?
People will know you're scared. Anyway, Chuck will find you. You want that?
Hey, Ren, you're backing up in here. Where are you?
Hey, yo! How come he sent you?
I volunteered.
Hey, McCormick, where the hell are you?
You know her? Yeah, so she tells me that I pissed Chuck off, right? So he wants to see me. And she walks away.
I'm betting you're gonna chicken and never...
Ooh, impressive. Yeah. Kind of out of it. I had to go to work last year.
Are you still moving? Ooh, you better watch it. Ariel's gonna tell her papa and you're gonna burn.
Yeah, what's her story? Is she really tough or what?
Nah, she's just trying to make people forget she's a preacher's kid.
Is that why she hangs out with Chuck?
Maybe. People think she's a hellraiser.
Is she?
I think she's been kissed a lot.
Out in some woods.
Ouch! Never guess your daddy's a fire chief.
Never guess your daddy's a minister.
Red boots.
My daddy hates me wearing these boots.
And you love that, don't you?
Huh? Chuck pulls Ariel on top of him.
What are you going to do when I go away to college?
Why do you want to do that, honey?
Just cause. Cut out for more in this small town.
Small town as they come.
Chuck kisses Ariel's neck and wraps his arms around her, but she stops him and stares for a moment before heading off. Now Ren's in a field.
A chicken race with tractors? Well, how hard could it be, right?
It's like a car, it's easy. Just like driving a sports car. Nothing could be simpler.
Oh, hell, Ren, just remember to stay calm.
Calm, he said. I've never driven a tractor before.
It's easy. Look, it's your clutch.
You got your clutch down here.
Your brake.
Your gas and your brake.
You start off, just shift it in high.
Start off, you want to shift it in high.
One, two, three, four.
Don't worry about
it. Put it in the third. Once you get going, slam it in the fourth.
Put it in the fourth.
That's your emergency brake. These operate your bucket.
Don't mess with the buckets.
I'll bet he's scared. He turns out in 10 seconds.
Why don't you go tell Dogface we're ready to go.
Yeah, all right, let's do it.
Okay, I'll catch you later.
Chuck climbs up into the seat of a red tractor. Ariel's friends are with Ren and Willard.
Just hang in there, you're going to be great.
Just hope the guy he pulls out.
Yeah, because then I want to split his face open.
Oh, cool,
don't
Carson.
Forget the clutch.
Give him hell, Ren.
Get him, Ren. Come on, Ren, we're with you.
How did I get myself into this? Hey, Woody. Woody, come here. Listen, has anybody ever died doing this?
Just once.
Hey, Brent! Hey, sport! When this hat flies in the air, you better have your button gear.
Get her.
I got my fingers crossed, buddy!
Come on!
Chuck presses play on his ghetto blaster. He starts his engine, and Ren's revs into life. Fumes chug from the exhaust mounted in front of Chuck, and Ariel gets into position. She glances at both drivers, then throws her hat into the air. Ren gets off to a juddering start. As Ren struggles to work out the controls, Chuck speeds towards him, raising the bucket at the front of his tractor. Ren can barely keep his tractor going in a straight line. Ren gets confused by the controls and accidentally raises the bucket. Ren's struggling to see through the fumes. Ren's nerves overwhelm him and he tries to get up out of the seat, but something has got tangled, lashing him to the tractor. Ren's trainer lace has become entangled around the accelerator. At the last moment, Chuck leaps from his seat into a stream, and the tractor follows a few seconds later. When Ren realizes he has won, he leaps up victoriously as his new friends come running after him. Drenched, Chuck swims to the side of the fast-moving stream and clings on to a bush. Chuck's friend tries to pull him out of the water, but he slips and falls back in again. Rusty arrives at the high spot, just as the arcade machines are being wheeled out.
Excuse me. Thank you. I don't believe this town.
Get rid of
them. Hello.
Tell me.
Okay. He has team practice every day until 4. On Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, he works at the Bemis Mill till 6. Whoops. You already knew that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he hasn't dated since he's been in town. And late Friday night.
Yeah?
By the light of the full moon. He, breaks into churchyards and bites the heads off live chickens.
Nah. Come on, Ariel, what is it, Chuck? Look, I never did think he had all his dogs barking anyway. Besides, what is wrong about getting a little psyched over Wren? He's cute. He's from out of town, and don't tell me that doesn't curl your toes, Ariel. I know you too well. I wonder if you're so bad you probably memorize bus schedules.
And you don't?
Wren's sitting alone in a classroom studying a textbook. When he gets up from his seat and makes to leave, a tall, blonde-haired youth enters.
Interested in some really good shit?
Oh, my God, Rich. You just made a whole sentence.
Don't get smart, ass. I've been watching you these past couple weeks. I know you're not stupid. And I've got a friend here who can help you out from time to time.
Oh, no. Thanks a lot, man. Thank you, but I got my own sources. You know, I've been getting into hog tranquilizers.
What do you say we just call this a sample and you know where you can get some more?
No, wait. Rich, hold up, man. Look, I don't want...
Why don't I just take it? You know, you're taking some real chances being new in the school.
Mr. Gritz, I gotta show you some. Wait, this is Tim.
This is Tim.
Come back here.
Wren runs into a bathroom and flushes the joint.
You think I'd do that with a real joint? Do you know what an OZ is going for these days?
I'm gonna get you. You wait. The Reverend was right about you.
The teacher leaves, and Wren kicks out at the bathroom stall in frustration.
Seems a bunch of kids was raising some hell out of Burlington Krantz's property a few days back. Tore up the fields, turned over a tractor and everything. Today, someone suggested to me there's been some trouble up at the high school. I think it was drugs.
You wouldn't know anything about that. What'd you say? I can't hear you.
He said no.
Amy.
I said no, sir.
Well, you know, Wren, whenever we used to call up to your folks there in Chicago... I don't think there was any trouble back there, was there?
Wren's mother gives him a look.
And I don't know what to make of it. But it seems a lot of people are pointing a finger in your direction lately.
And what are they saying?
What I have been telling you about the trouble and the drugs and... You just seem to be having a lot of trouble since you moved here. And I figured...
You figured where there's smoke, there's fire, right?
Usually works like that. Now look, Wren. You know that I would never try to take the place of your father.
Yeah, well, there's no chance of that.
Wren.
Wren stalks out, and Sarah runs to the window.
Uh-oh, he's taken the car.
Wren drives into the mill and along planks and rails until bringing the car to a screeching halt. He has a cigarette between his fingers and presses his forehead to the steering wheel before yanking open the glove box and taking out a tape. He forces it into the deck and slams his hands against the steering wheel. He gets out of the car and takes a drag on the cigarette before swigging from a bottle of beer. At the church, Moore preaches to his congregation. Wren has a vision of Ariel's face. He remembers the stares of the other students, the cop taking his tape, and Ariel laughing with Chuck, then hurls the bottle away. He starts dancing to the music as he recalls Rich offering him a joint and the teacher catching them as Wren tries to return it. Wren slams his hands on the car bonnet, then jumps back and spins before throwing his arms out at his sides and moving his hips. He makes his way through the mill, sliding on his knees, spinning and doing a no-hands cartwheel, ending up on a narrow walkway between two walls of spaced planks where he tears off his sweatshirt to reveal a white sleeveless vest worn underneath. It's time to fight. He hangs onto a plank and shakes his head before leaping into the unknown and dancing furiously. He slides down two handrails and races along a gantry, then grabs hold of a chain and swings through the air. He moves along a platform in front of a vent, his anger and frustration bursting out through his frenetic movements. He kicks out his legs and thrusts his arms into the air, then does a one-handed cartwheel before racing across the mill floor. He leaps in the air, then rolls onto his back before flipping himself up onto his feet. He jumps off a piece of equipment and cartwheels over machinery before launching himself in the air to dangle from a horizontal bar. He swings right around the bar several times before somersaulting off and soaring through the air with his arms outstretched and his legs curving up behind him. Ariel comes out of the shadows.
What are you doing here?
Watching.
Thought I was alone.
Huh. Not in this town. There's eyes everywhere.
Ren turns off the music.
How come you don't like me?
What makes you think I don't like
you?
Look,
you never talk to me at school. You never look at me.
Yeah, well, maybe that's because if I did, your boyfriend would remove my lungs with a spoon.
Chuck Cranston doesn't own me. I'm sure he likes to act like he does, but he doesn't. Do you want to kiss me?
Someday.
Hey, what is this someday shit?
Well, I get the feeling you've been kissed a lot. You know, I'm afraid I'd suffer by comparison.
Sitting in his passenger seat, she looks wounded.
You don't think much of me, do you? You think I'm small town?
I think Beaumont's a small town.
I'm going away. I've already applied to colleges. You know, I applied to colleges my father doesn't even know I applied to. He's gonna come after me, but I'm gonna be gone.
Ren looks across at her but turns away before she turns her head to look at him. She raises her eyebrows.
Wanna see something?
Sure.
A junkyard.
Well, we call it the yearbook. It started 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. It's stuff we're not supposed to read.
Passages written on an abandoned locomotive.
This is all out of books?
Most of it. Some songs, magazines. Some poems that get made up.
Sing to you of silver swans, of kingdoms and carillons.
I'll sing of bodies intertwined underneath an innocent sky.
You wrote that?
It's not even one of my best.
It's all right.
She gazes at him, and he seems unsure of what to do.
Wait a minute. You hear that?
What?
The train, you hear it? Sometimes after football games, we come out here, just a few of us, and we stand here. And then when the train comes, we make out like crazy.
Oh, yeah?
Most of the time, we just stand and scream.
Great.
Yeah, saw it in a movie once, real loud, from here.
Ariel makes her way onto the track and stares mesmerized by the glowing light at the front of the train.
Hey, come on, don't screw around, huh?
She looks back at Ren with a wild smile on her face. The train draws closer and closer, and Ariel throws up her hand and screams. At the last second, Ren plucks her from the rails. They both fall to the ground, and as the train thunders past, they turn to face one another and look into each other's eyes. Ariel licks her lips, and Ren looks tempted, but then collapses on his back exhausted by the rescue. After a moment, he sits up and stares at her, as if unable to figure her out. She gazes back with a yearnful expression.
Come on, I'll take you home.
He takes her hand and helps her to her feet. Ariel arrives home and quickly sheds her jacket, then starts up the stairs wearing an excited smile, which quickly fades when she realises that Moore has been waiting for her.
It's late.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to impose a curfew on the young people of my congregation that I can't even enforce in my own home. Have you been drinking?
No.
Were you smoking something?
No. I wasn't stealing, I wasn't gambling, I wasn't dancing, I wasn't reading books I'm not supposed to. I am late.
Well, who were you with?
Red McCormick.
I don't want you to see him anymore.
Why?
Because I've heard he's a troublemaker.
Just because he hasn't lived in this town for 20 years doesn't make him a troublemaker.
Ariel, I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
There ain't nothing to do with me, Daddy. You like it or not, this is it. It doesn't get much better.
Moore moves aside as Ariel stomps up the stairs past him. Willard rides a motorcycle into a car wash where Ren is cleaning his car.
Hey, what the hell happened? Why'd you get kicked off the team?
Because somebody's got it in for me. Now, somehow Coach finds out that I brought Ariel home late last night, so I'm a troublemaker, right?
Yeah, but that's not why I'm off the team, see? No, no. I'm off the team because they just don't have the funds for one more gymnast this year, but thank you anyway. Does anybody live in this town?
You know what it is, partner? You got an attitude problem.
Oh, I got an attitude
yes.
problem?
Yes. And I'm not the only one who's noticed it, Ren. I mean, we're not living in the goddamn Middle Ages here. We got TV. We got Family Feud. We're not stuck in Leave It to Beaverland here.
Yeah, well, I haven't noticed a wet T-shirt contest in town yet.
Yeah, well, I haven't either. But I'm waiting, patiently.
I'll tell you what I'd like to do, man. I'd like to glue a Playboy centerfold inside every one of Reverend Moore's hymnals.
Yeah, you know what else we could do? We could start winning a nightclub right there in the church, huh?
Hey, that's it. That's it, man.
What? What's it?
A dance.
What?
A dance. We could have a dance. You know a dance? You know dance?
Hey,
you know what I mean? Dance.
Hey, Rob, my friend.
Come on,
dance.
Stop.
You're going to get me angry, man.
We're going to turn this town upside down.
Stop it.
Moore's on a porch.
You know, I was down in Denver last year for about a week at a Bible convention there. And the whole time I was there, people would come up to me and ask me, Reverend, how can you live in such a small town, so far away from the hustle and bustle of the 20th century? I'd say to them, you'd never ask me that. If you could just once, just for 1 minute, experience the feeling of family that comes from knowing that all of our lives are tied up with each other's. That we feel all the same joys, same sorrows, and that we care. Each and every one of us cares for the other. I told them, I just feel closer to my Lord out there. And I feel closer and safer with my people. And I think they feel closer to me. The Lord smiles on us out there. And that's where I'm staying. Why don't you have some cake?
Moore's been preaching his sermon all over town.
Roger, the town council has no intention of bowing to the wishes of a small group of students.
Reverend Eleanor and I are absolutely certain. We know for a fact that this boy is organizing a dance.
They're not going to have any dance.
Unless some young punk push us around now, it won't be long before every standard in the community
Excuse
is violated.
So.
Boy, are they in a tizzy. Ariel, get in the car. I got the whole council going.
Now, there's a town meeting I ain't going to miss.
Hey, Ren, where are you taking us?
You're going over the state line. I want you guys to see what you've all been missing.
Ren, I know you're not going to let Willard fight, right?
I don't fight.
Oh, right. And I don't breathe.
Ren leads the others into a smoky country music bar. The dance floor is filled with happy, smiling people. Ren, Ariel, and Rusty slip into the vibe easily, but Willard is looking out of place.
Are you gonna dance, man?
I drink better than I dance.
Oh, come on!
Come on. Oh, I want you guys to even show me something new.
Come on, we didn't come all this way just to sit it out, man.
I'll be out there. Don't worry about it. Let's figure out the meal.
Hey, come on, man. They're waiting to dance with us.
Can't dance at all.
Oh. All right. Buy him a beer.
Ren, take my jacket.
Ren and Ariel skip onto the dance floor and immediately start moving to the music.
What's the matter?
My feet have been hurting all since this morning. Huh?
I want to get a beer.
Wearing her sinful red boots, Ariel shakes her hips and holds her hands behind her head. Rusty looks unhappy at having to sit down at a table with Willard and can't help but bounce along to the music, watching Ren and Ariel move around each other with fluid ease. Later, the dance floor is crowded with couples with their bodies pressed close together. Rusty sways to the music, then looks over at Willard, who gives her a blank stare. Looking frustrated, Willard raises his arm.
Why can't you see me another beer?
Rusty looks faintly disgusted, and Willard seems aware of her distaste and disappointment as he takes a drag on a cigarette. Ren and Ariel are dancing close together, with his hands on her waist and her arms around his neck. Later still, the tempo changes, and Rusty shakes her legs along to the music as Ren and Ariel tear up the dance floor. Willard curls his lips into a snarl, but forces a smile for Rusty. As more couples show off their moves, Rusty can't stop herself and goes to join in. Rusty joins in with Ren and Ariel. Ariel dances with a cowboy in a Stetson and check shirt, both playing air guitar, while Ren spins Rusty under his arm. Ren and Ariel hook arms and swing each other around, while Rusty takes to the floor with the cowboy. Willard shifts in his seat, looking jealous. The two couples dance in unison, and the people around the floor applaud their efforts, along with other couples letting themselves get carried away by the vibrant music. A round-bellied cowboy joins the crowd at the edge of the floor, and after Ren swings Rusty up and over his back, she lands up in his arms. She looks a little taken aback by the hefty man, but starts to dance with him anyway, tipping Willard over the edge. He jumps up out of his seat, then crosses the dance floor and taps the man on the arm.
Hey! I came with that girl.
Doesn't look like you're leaving with her.
Hey, I guess you didn't hear me the first time.
Willard, no fights. You don't even know this guy.
Why don't you just flake off, huh?
Hey!
Willard, no fights.
When's the last time you seen your dick, partner?
The cowboy punches Willard.
You know, Rusty, he was fighting to save your honor.
It's too late.
Right on
spot. Hey, Ren, is your desk going to be like this one?
Everything but the fight.
Well, forget it. Ow, come on!
Wait!
Up on the roof.
Oh, yeah.
100 proof.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, ain't that fine?
Oh, yeah.
Cherry pie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yay.
Ren drives over a bridge spanning a river.
I hate this bridge. It gives me the creeps.
How come?
You've heard this one. The infamous Crosby Bridge accident, right? You've heard it?
No.
Oh, you're missing out. About 5 years ago, these kids were playing power tag and they were drunk.
Uh-huh.
So one car hits the other one and they both go over the edge of the bridge. Dead. That's when they started passing the laws against booze, against dancing and drinking, and I don't know. My father had a field day.
Your father what?
My older brother was the one who got killed.
God, you should have seen Bobby. He was like Warren Beatty, only taller, wasn't he?
My father went off the deep end. He decided we all needed saving, no matter what. He's gonna personally save this little pissant town, and he's gonna deliver it up to heaven with his daughter sitting like a cherry on top of it.
Rent glances across at Ariel with concern as she holds her hand on her head with her eyes closed. Moore and his wife Vi are sitting in silence as Ariel eats and studies at the kitchen table.
I called over to Rusty's last night.
Ariel flicks through a school book.
I don't understand why you feel it necessary to lie to me.
I don't know why you find it necessary to check up on me.
I'm concerned about your well-being, that's all.
Well, how come when I'm here at home, you're never as interested in what I'm doing or saying as you are when I walk out that door? Bam! Suddenly you want to know everything!
Ariel, I don't know what's provoked this outburst, but I don't like it any more than I like not knowing where you were for 6 hours last night.
Shaw, don't you think we could wait on
No, I don't think this can wait. And you know, I'm sick and tired of you coming in on her side. She's gonna have to start answering for herself.
I don't know what good that would do. You don't listen to me anymore than you listen to her.
Oh!
Moore has slapped Ariel across the face. She glances at her mother, then walks out. Later, Vi is sitting on a pew at the church, staring straight ahead, when Moore enters and takes a seat behind her.
I've never hit anyone in my life.
No.
We're losing her, Vi. Don't you see that?
No. I see you chasing after her, and I see her running from you.
She's become so willful and obstinate.
She's like her father. The two of you were so wonderful once. You had so much to talk about. I was almost jealous.
Well, it's not as if we don't talk. It's just that sometimes people run out of things to say.
Vi considers for a moment, then gets up and starts to walk away. Her hair is pinned back in a severe bun, and she's wearing a drab dress and cardigan.
Shaw? It's 20 years now I've been a minister's wife. And I've been quiet, supportive, unobtrusive, and after 20 years, I still think you're a wonderful preacher. You can lift a congregation up so high they have to look down to see heaven. But it's the one-to-one where you need a little work.
She walks out, leaving him looking bereft. Ren's talking with some kids at a convenience store.
We could really use your support on this
thing.
I
really don't think my mother would approve.
Oh, yeah, but we're not talking about it. A free-for-all. Won't be a drunken brawl. It's just a dance.
Sure does.
Well, just give it some thought, okay? Sleep on it, okay? Just think about it. Okay, thanks.
See you later. Sounds great to me.
Hey, how you doing, boy? If you need help, you just let me know.
Okay, you got it.
Don't forget.
Now, Chuck has heard something that's upset him real good, and I want you to tell me it ain't so, Mr. Chicago Big Shot. See, he's been here, and you're gonna try to throw a dance at school. A senior dance. And he figured only a dumb son of a bitch would try that. Is that what you're trying?
He sure the hell is.
Excuse me, girl. Come on out, Ren. You guys stay right there. Oh, stay.
Is he really gonna get us to dance?
Yep. About time, McCormick.
I'll be there.
Thanks.
Look, don't you have any better manners than that? Would your mama teach you better? Treat animals like that? Huh? How's it feel? Don't feel too good now, does it, huh?
What are you talking about?
You're gonna have to fight City Hall.
What do you mean I gotta fight City Hall?
Guys, Mr. McCormick, there's a town council. It's made up of about 7 people. Shaw Moore's one of them. Burlington Cranston is another. Personally, I don't like that lousy son of a bitch. They meet every third Thursday of the month. If there's something you want in this town, you're gonna have to go talk to them.
You're gonna get really creamed.
Jeez, I'm not so good with words.
Keep thinking like that, Ren, you are gonna get creamed.
So, when Woody over here doesn't know a dance from a dipstick.
And you do. You do, huh? Which way is your left? Huh? Willer, which way is your left? He don't know his left foot from his right foot.
I'll tell you something, man. If I gotta get up in front of that council, then you are gonna learn how to dance.
Sitting in Ren's car, Willard attempts to click his fingers to the beat of the music. He's hopelessly out of time, and Ren looks exasperated but tries again. Willard just can't get it, so Ren tries a different tack, high-fiving Willard in time to the music, then encouraging him to strike his fist on the dashboard. Lying on his back, Willard moves to the beat, making his whole bed shake. Now Ren and Willard are making their way through the school corridors, tethered by the wires of a personal stereo. Willard's bobbing up and down awkwardly. Ren gives him a hopeless look, then their practice session moves to a garden where Willard finally seems to be getting the hang of things. Later, Ren's young cousins are helping out. Practicing at home, Willard's heavy footsteps make a downstairs light fitting wobble dangerously, and his irate father sends his mother off to reprimand him. Ren and Willard dance through a meadow, and Willard performs a series of athletic forward rolls before the two boys move the action to a football field, where Willard copies Ren's moves as they dance the length of the field. Ren takes things up a level in the school gym by trying to teach Willard how to dance with a partner. Willard ends up heaving Ren over his back where he waggles his legs about. Ren ropes in his cousins again and shows the moves to Willard using Amy as his partner. Willard watches closely, then tries to recreate the sequence with Sarah. Later, seated side by side on the football field bleachers, the two young men move their feet in unison. They both stand at the same time and go through a routine. Willard's moves may not be as smooth as Ren's, but he's definitely getting the hang of things and later dances alone, incorporating his unique style, blending pop music moves with hoedown spirit. Gallops from side to side, waving his Stetson in his hand. Now Willard gives Ren a full performance of all his moves, doing robotics, spins, jumps, and even shaking his legs like Elvis. With a huge grin on his face, he takes a few steps forward, pushing his hands down in front of him. Then with his fists on the ground, he springs from one leg to the other. He jumps from side to side, then rolls forward and holds his hands out, ready for Ren's judgment. Ren laughs and circles his thumb and forefinger, but Willard urges him for more, so Ren applauds him.
What is this, Roger? I don't know this book.
I would hope you wouldn't.
Reverend Moore, Mrs. Evans is calling about that dance over at the school.
Oh, would you tell her I'll call her back right after Junior Bible, Mary? Now, what were you saying?
This was found in one of the athletic lockers over the school. A book like this should be burned. We should go to the library and remove this corruption from the shelves.
Well, there's no sense blowing it up into something that it isn't.
Hello! Whoa!
Careful.
Come on, Max. All set up, bye.
Well, I think it's quite obvious what it is.
Well, it's not quite so obvious how I should handle it.
Reverend, if you'll excuse my saying so, when we got rid of that young English teacher over at the school, we didn't get any support from you.
That's because I didn't think we had any grounds for his dismissal.
Well, Reverend, around here, it caused a lot of folks some worry.
Well, a lot of folks worry a little too much.
Doesn't take much time for corruption to take root, Reverend.
How long is that, Roger? About as long as it takes compassion to die. Say, do I get a cookie?
No!
How about some milk? Did you drink all the milk?
Yeah!
Sitting in his pickup under the bleachers, Chuck checks his watch, then takes a drag on a cigarette. He gets out when he spots Ariel walking along the bleachers, and when she sees him, he leans against the truck with his arms folded, a petulant expression on his face. Ariel makes her way over to him.
I wanted to talk
to you. You don't have to tell me nothing. I know why you don't call me up.
I wanted to tell you myself.
Oh, well, I know why you don't want to see me anymore. Hey, I'm not stupid. I'm not blind. It's McCormick, ain't it? You're just dying to screw McCormick, aren't you? Aren't you?
You're so stupid.
Stupid? You think I don't see you looking at him like some bitch in heat? You'd wrap those skinny legs around anybody, won't
Shut
you?
Shut up!
Is that what I get? Huh? I treated you decent.
Later.
I'm sorry you have to see me like this. I'll be okay. Just sneak in at home, I'll be fine. I look okay?
Yeah, I think I'll pull through.
She offers him a wooden box.
Thanks for coming for me.
I don't understand.
I mean, there's nothing to understand. It's for taking on my father.
Oh, no, no, wait a minute. Wait, I got no beef with him. Wait, no, wait. This is my fight, you know? It's with the town. It's not with one guy. You don't get to turn my fight into some kind of a screw you to your old man.
She leans over his car bonnet with her head bent, holding the box in one hand.
Hey, look. Maybe you shouldn't try so hard to forget your brother. Or to try to make your father forget him, you know?
It's not that easy.
I know. I still get the box? Huh? Give me the box.
He opens it. She smiles, then gives him a pleading look.
Nice.
They look into each other's eyes.
Think you might ever kiss me?
He reaches out, holding the back of her head in his hand. Then their lips meet in a tender, gentle kiss. Their embrace deepens, but Ren is tender with her, her face still bearing the fresh wounds from Chuck's beating. They continue to kiss against the backdrop of an abandoned locomotive and distant industrial chimney stacks. Hazy golden light casts its glow over the scene. Moore and Vi are both awake in bed.
Harvey and Bernie were here for a long time.
Hmm.
You still talking about that dance?
Yeah.
Well, what did you decide to do?
It's not gonna happen. That's one more thing that Ariel is not gonna forgive me for, but...
Can you step out of the way long enough to realize that she's doing all this for you?
Me? I don't see that. I just know that when kids dance together, they become sexually irresponsible. I can't take the chance of it. Well, what's so funny?
You talk like that's the only thing that gets them excited. Don't you remember when we used to look at each other and get excited? Well, it's just the same with them. You're not going to put their eyes out.
No.
Vi looks disheartened as Moore puts down his Bible before turning off the bedside light.
None of this is going to undo one stupid accident.
I'm responsible for the spiritual life of this community.
Shaw, you can't be a father to everybody. You can't do that.
I thought that at least you believed in me.
Vi looks taken aback and opens her mouth to say something, but Moore rolls over and turns his back on her.
I never stopped.
It's the town council. Get the town council.
I'll lay you flat, Ariel.
Red McCormick at the council meeting tomorrow night.
You're bringing me down. You can make a difference.
Tomorrow night at the town council meeting to show your support in favor of...
Ariel joins Ren.
Hi. Still hurt?
Yeah.
Good.
Nervous?
No. Yeah, I'm nervous.
I don't know what I'm going to say to the council.
There's only the 7 of them, though, right? Who else is going to be there?
Everybody. Take a deep breath. You ready?
She gives him a Bible.
What is it? Holy Bible? What?
He reads a passage she's bookmarked.
Oh, this is great. This is great. How did you know where to find all this?
Are you kidding?
She smiles at him.
Come on, Daisy. Thanks.
Night has fallen, and Chuck kills his headlights as he pulls up at a curb. One of his friends jumps out of the back and throws a brick through a window of Ren's uncle's house. Chuck speeds off.
What the hell is that?
The brick's gone through the girl's bedroom window.
Oh, what is it? What's going on?
Burning hell? This says burning hell.
Oh, Ren, what the hell is going on?
Obviously somebody's trying to make a point.
Do you see now? Do you see? You don't go waving your flange around here without people taking shots at now. This is not the first time. My business was off, but people are taking business away from me.
You too.
And your Aunt Lulu's been getting some ugly phone calls, and today your mother lost her job.
Les!
Mom, is that true? What?
Mr. Collins said he'd been hearing some things about you. He thought maybe I ought to stay home and be a proper mother.
Now, what did you say?
I told him to shove it.
Now, damn it, Ethel, this is serious.
Les, there's other jobs.
Where?
Why, shouldn't you call the police?
Oh, I don't know how much good it'll do. I'll get Jim Early House over here. Will you stop now? Will you stop?
I don't understand this town. It's like something's choking everybody. Only they don't know they're choking.
Let me ask you something. Why this dance in this town?
It's not just about a dance. Not anymore.
I know. That's what I mean. I watch you. I see.
Ren pulls off one of his cowboy boots.
You're not gonna understand this.
Try me.
He sits cross-legged on a sofa bed.
Dad first threatened to leave. I thought it was because of me. I thought it was something that I wasn't doing right. And I figured there was something that I could do to make it like it was, and then he'd want to stay, you know? But when he left just like that, realize that everything that I'd done, hoping that he'd stay, didn't matter. And I felt like, what difference does it make? But now, I'm thinking I could really do something, you know? I could really do something for me this time, you know? I don't know, otherwise I'm just gonna disappear.
His mother smiles as he rolls down the blind at the window and settles back on a pair of pillows. The council meeting is underway in a packed room.
All right, Virginia. I guess that ends the discussion on this issue.
And so the price of a dog license will go from $350 to $450. A licensed pet is a happy one. And that takes care of old business, Burlington.
Thank you, Virginia. It was real good. All right, now we can consider any new business. Excuse me. Before we begin, I just want to remind all you kids, we're conducting an official meeting. We're not going to tolerate any disturbances. Okay, floor is now open for any new business.
My name is Ren McCormick, and I would like to move on behalf of most of the senior class of Beaumont High School that the law against public dancing within the town limits of Beaumont be abolished.
Ren's boss from the mill is smiling.
Mr. Chairman, could I address myself to this?
Bet.
Even if this was not a law, which it is, I'm afraid I would have a lot of difficulty endorsing an enterprise which is as fraught with genuine peril as I believe this one to be. Besides the liquor and the drugs, which always seem to accompany such an event, the thing that distresses me even more, Wren, is the spiritual corruption that can be involved. These dances and this kind of music can be destructive. And, Wren, I'm afraid you're going to find that most of the people in our community are going to agree with me on this.
I do.
That's all I have to say on it.
I believe a vote is in order on the motion.
Well, all those opposed...
Well, excuse me, I'd just like to say something.
It is outrageous. If you think that we...
Eleanor, sit down.
Ariel looks proud of her mother.
I think Mr. McCormick has a right to be heard.
Ren walks to a lectern in front of council members.
Well, I just wanted to say a few words about this motion so that you wouldn't think that we were encouraging destruction with this idea. From the oldest of times, people danced for a number of reasons. They danced in prayer, or so that their crops would be plentiful, or so their hunt would be good. And they danced to stay physically fit and show their community spirit. And they danced to celebrate. And that is the dancing that we're talking about.
Yeah. Aren't we told?
In Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Let them praise his name in the dance.
Amen.
And it was King David. King David, who we read about in Samuel. And what did David do? David danced before the Lord with all his might. Leaping and dancing before the Lord. Leaping and dancing.
Ren turns from Moore to the people.
And Ecclesiastes assures us that there is a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to laugh.
and a time to weep. A time to mourn. And there is a time to dance.
Ethel smiles with pride, and Ariel faintly nods her head. Wren turns back to the council, looking resolute.
And there was a time for this law, but not anymore. See, this is our time to dance. It is our way of celebrating life. It's the way it was in the beginning. It's the way it's always been. It's the way it should be now.
Vi looks to her husband, who seems to have been touched by Wren's impassioned words. Wren heads back to his seat. His boss calls out to him.
You know you were railroaded, don't you? Huh? Boy, when are you gonna wake up and smell the coffee? Shaw Moore walked into that meeting with them votes already in his pocket. He didn't have a prayer.
Bad pun, Andy.
Well, what are you gonna do now?
It's over.
What if it ain't? What if you have your dancing basin?
No, the whole point was to do something here in Beaumont. Basin's what, 30 miles away?
Not where it runs up to these tracks, it ain't.
Huh?
No, I figure if the Beaumont fire trucks can't cross these tracks, well, neither can the long arm of the law.
Yeah, what about the long arm of Reverend Moore?
You remember he said if you could find a way to convince him it wouldn't be a spiritual corruption, he'd think about it.
So?
Make him think about it.
Ariel walks in on Moore practicing a sermon.
And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And the angel was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Yes?
I used to get such a kick out of watching you work up your sermons.
And now?
It's different. I see the stage, I see costumes. It's show business, isn't it?
Well, it's the only way I know to reach people's emotions. I haven't heard from you for a while. When was it? Thursday?
I was angry. You were angry.
I was not.
Yes, you were. If you weren't, you would have asked me what was wrong. You knew.
Ariel, I cannot let this dance happen.
Wren McCormick made a lot of people stop and think.
I object to that kind of music, and I think you know why.
Because people fornicate to it.
I never said that.
That's what you told the church board.
That was not meant for your ears.
Well, when do my ears get old enough, Daddy? When did you stop protecting me? I'm no saint, you know.
It is my duty to look after the spiritual growth of you.
I'm not even a virgin.
Don't you talk like that in here.
Why not? Isn't this where I'm supposed to confess my sins to my preacher? In church! I asked to be forgiven, am I? Oh, forgive me and deliver me
out of here with my soul. You're no better than you.
Thank heaven you're here. People are calling. They're over at the library.
Burning books.
Roger! Eleanor, what are you doing?
We decided these books are influenced.
Well, who's reading? Who's my authority?
You yourself agreed that this is garbage.
Everybody, listen to me. When did you all decide to sit in judgment? Who elected all of you to be the saviors of everybody's souls in Beaumont?
Reverend, we have a perfect right to determine what
Roger,
our children...
When you burned all of these, what are you going to do then? Chris, take these out of here. Satan is not in these books. He's in here. He's in your hearts. Go on home, all of you. Go and sit in judgment on yourselves. Roger, go home. Eleanor, come on. Go home now. Come on, both of you.
As the subdued couple slowly walk away, Moore stands by the burning brazier and checks the titles of the two books he's managed to rescue from the fire. He looks round helplessly and catches sight of Ariel standing close by with a pitying expression. He lowers his head and she looks disappointed. Ren is at Moore's house, looking at a photo of the preacher and his son.
Sometimes things don't make any sense. If you could explain to me about my father, maybe I could explain to you about your son. But it doesn't make any sense. Look, I gotta go. Listen, I know you're gonna do what you gotta do, but thanks for listening.
Ren, thank you for, thank you.
Ren nods, then heads out into the night. Ariel steps out from the shadows where she's been listening in. Moore sees her.
That was your friend Ren. He came here to ask me if he could take you to a senior prom. I'm running out of answers, Ariel.
I know how hard it is for you. I know I'm not making it easier.
She kneels down at his feet.
I just don't know that I believe in everything you believe. Believe in you.
Now Moore is standing at his pulpit in the church. He takes in the expectant expressions on the faces of his congregation, including Ren, Ethel, and Ariel.
I'm standing up here before you today, with a very troubled heart. You see, my friends, I've always insisted on taking responsibility for your lives. But I'm really like a first-time parent who makes mistakes and tries to learn from them. And like that parent, I find myself at that moment when I have to decide. Do I hold on? Or do I trust you to yourselves? Let go. And hope that you've understood at least some of my lessons. If we don't start trusting our children, how will they ever become trustworthy? I'm told that the senior class of the high school has got use of a warehouse in Basin for the purpose of putting on a senior dance. Please join me to pray to the Lord to guide them in their endeavors.
Vi smiles, and the youngsters in the pews look excited. Moore lowers his gaze, and Vi looks at her daughter beaming and the grin on Ren's face. Ren glances to one side, then looks down, smiling to himself. Now Ren, Willard and Woody are riding motorcycles, with Rusty, Ariel and Wendy Jo sitting behind them. More seniors on motorcycles join them as they make their way down a dirt track. Youngsters on bicycles pass in front of them as they ride along the curving road that leads to the mill. They pull up outside the white-painted building. Then Willard is blowing up a balloon to join the dozens of others drifting around him. As lights are strung up and star-shaped decorations are nailed onto doorways, Willard's face turns redder and redder. At the last moment, he lets go of the balloon and it flies away. Ren hauls a pallet loaded with flour, and he and some of the guys work as a team, passing the sacks from one to the other as they clear the space for the party. Ariel turns on the power switch and everyone jumps for joy as the barn is lit up. Ariel's looking unsure about her pink prom dress and is fussing over the position of the shoulders when her mother slowly opens her door and smiles in on her.
You look very nice.
Oh, no.
Yes, you do. Yes, you look very nice.
No.
Yes, you do. You look wonderful.
No. You think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vi pulls something out from behind her back.
You can't very well go to a prom without a corsage.
Ariel hugs her.
This is gorgeous.
Oh.
Where do you think I should
It has a wrist thing, yeah.
Oh, Mom, maybe we didn't have to.
I didn't. Now, don't go on to him about it because he'll only deny it.
Ren's checking his hair in his wing mirror when Ariel steps out of the house.
I was going to come up... Gonna come up and get you.
What's the matter?
You're beautiful.
What?
He walks towards her, looking dapper in his bow tie, dress shirt, and dark red jacket.
I mean it. You are beautiful.
They give each other coy smiles. They head down some steps, arm in arm, Ren strutting a little with pride in the beautiful girl at his side.
Thank you.
He can't get his passenger door open and has to unlatch it from inside.
Whoa.
He stops her from opening it herself and guides her in, then shuts the door, having to give it a good kick before getting in himself. He starts the engine, then pulls away. At the barn, a table has been laden with a cornucopia of treats, from cherry pies to chocolate cakes and a huge bowl of punch. Everyone's standing around the edges of the room.
I thought that dreams belonged to others.
No one seems to know what they should be doing.
Each time I got close.
A young man picks at his fingernails while a girl bites her lip.
I feared my heart would beat in secrecy.
They're all looking bored out of their minds, waiting for something to happen.
Oh, how could I have known?
A boy gets his friend to adjust the position of his bow tie. A girl standing between two boys scratches at the neckline of her party dress.
Almost paradise.
A boy turns away from his date to pick his nose, and she looks disgusted when she sees him wipe his finger on his trousers. Ren and Ariel enter and immediately start to slow dance in the middle of the room, prompting others to join them. It seems like perfect love. Ariel gestures for others to brave the dance floor. Moore and Vi leave their parked car and start through some long grass.
Well, let's take a closer look.
No, she'll think I'm checking up again.
No, she won't even know we're here. Come on.
Andy.
You're the last folks I expected to see around here tonight.
Evening, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
Bye. Reverend, you've done a good thing here.
Well, I'm still not sure it was the right thing.
Comes close.
Andy raises his eyebrows, then drives off. While Vi is staring at the barn, Moore moves away.
Shaw? Shaw?
He steps out in front of her.
Shaw? What is it? It's just the two of us again. Huh?
They wrap their arms around each other, then start to sway to the music. He gently strokes her hair.
What? We're almost dancing.
He kisses her cheek, and pleasure washes across her face. Willard has just parked up his bike when Chuck turns up with his pickup loaded with goons.
Hello, Willard.
Willard, you promised you won't fight, right?
Don't you look sweet?
What do you want, Chuck?
Oh, I got a little business with your friend McCormick.
Hey, Chuck, cool it, all right? No fights tonight, okay?
Hey, no fights, fellas. Sure, Willard.
All right.
Chuck kicks Willard's backside.
Cute. No fights, Willard.
Damn, man. I told you, all right? I promised Rusty no fights tonight, okay?
Chuck and his friends start to beat him up.
Oh, Willard.
How you want me to do, Rusty?
Kill the son of a bitch! Kill the son of a bitch!
Willard takes on the whole gang.
Chuck!
Hey, it's Mr. Dance Fever.
Yeah, you're a goddamn hero when it's 5-1.
Ren does a flying leap over a stack of flower sacks, kicking Chuck in the face. Ren then tosses one of Chuck's friends over his back. Willard takes out two guys.
You're gonna dance now, McCormick, huh?
Ren ducks the metal pole swung by Chuck, then smashes his face with a hitch kick. Ren and Willard slap hands.
Hey, Anson,
great dance, man.
Fighter heroes! Ren, I thought you guys were gonna actually, like, fight or something. You're great.
Hey, what's this I see? I thought this was a party! Let's dance!
They all break out dancing, with one boy lifting a girl above his head. Wendy Jo crooks her finger to beckon Woody over, and he lifts her up, then she removes his thick-rimmed glasses. Willard leads Rusty onto the dance floor.
Just watch, all right?
Willard starts bouncing around and chest bumps two of his friends. He pauses, slightly out of breath, then strikes a Saturday Night Fever pose. Oh, tell me Ariel screams with excitement as Ren does a backflip, then coolly straightens up his bow tie. Glitter rains down on the seniors, and the barn floor shudders under their feet as they jump around. A line of boys dance across the room from right to left, then girls skip back the other way. Ren joins a group of young men shimmying across the floor with their feet rapidly swiveling from side to side. The whole crowd let loose, shaking their heads and swinging their arms. The dancers part and form a ring around the centre of the dance floor. Willard and Ren step forward and start performing a routine. They step from side to side, rolling their hands in front of them. They slide back, then turn to the left and bend their knees in unison, repeating it in the other direction before jumping and kicking their legs out in front of them. A girl replaces them in the centre spot, swinging her skirt around her, and a boy puts on his glasses so he can get a better look. Another girl high-kicks her way into the centre, then a boy bounces on the balls of his feet before another young man comes forward and whips off his jacket before performing robotic and breakdance moves where he isolates his body parts and his head moves as if it's no longer attached to his neck. He ripples his body, then moonwalks backwards. He points to a boy standing in the ring and he enthusiastically removes his jacket and stretches out his braces before jumping down into a press-up position, then swinging his legs forward and doing Russian-style kicks before resting on his arms and raising his body up. He bounces into side splits from one side to the other, then stands and crosses his arms in front of him before pointing to the next dancer, Willard. Willard forward rolls into the centre of the circle, then jumps, his legs crossing back and forth, causing Ariel to scream in surprise. Willard kicks his feet up behind him, then slides down into the splits before shifting his weight from one bent leg to the other. He points at Ren, who almost declines, but then glides into the centre of the circle and moves forward, pointing his feet out to the sides, joined by a couple of girls who copy his moves. Surrounded by jubilant seniors and with glitter raining down on him, Ren looks back over his shoulder and grins.